Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 19th, 2024. We are here to talk WWE Raw. It is AEW All In Week. I will be here live for a post show on Sunday afternoon. Then we turn around 6 days later for Bash in Berlin. FightfulSelect.com is where you want to go for scoops. We are going to be AEW heavy this week, including a big update on Saraya's contract, and I can tell you right now, Tuesday we'll have an update on the AEW WBD deal. Been working on that one for quite a bit, but yeah, that will be on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. You can also see tonight's Raw plans ahead of time. You can find out who produced what, a lot of news, including an interesting name that was backstage at the SmackDown show. That will be up tomorrow as well. But lots of news over there. You know the drill. Leave your thumbs up. Tell us that you're present. It's the roll call. Drop a fruit emoji. We got Denise here, fresh off of her trip to Mexico. Denise, how you doing?
Yo, what's up? I don't know if I would call myself fresh right now, though. That's for sure. I got to tell you, Sean, it's kind of weird seeing you in a plain white t-shirt. Are you going to start singing Delilah? Oh,
it's got a little pocket on it and a...
You didn't get my joke. I said, are you going to start singing Delilah?
You know, it's interesting. Like, if just four random white guys showed up and played, like, in my town, and they said, yeah, we're plain white tees, I would have no reason to doubt them.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know what they look like. But I do know that one song, Delilah. Oh, I love that. They had that song.
1, 2, 3, 4 was a hit.
Which one was that one again? 1, 2, 3, 4?
That one.
Yeah. I don't remember that one.
Go.
Is it like
YouTube it afterwards?
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not here to perform, okay? But
no, I'm trying to get you to perform. Actually, Sean, I want to message you something and I want you to read it, okay? I want you to, but I need to text it to you and I want you to read it because this is important to me. Hold on, I'm texting you right now.
Well, you know what? While Denise does that, hear from our sponsors at BetOnline.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling, it's not just MMA and boxing, it's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Right now, there are numerous titles slated to change hands per the BetOnline odds. The closest line is Bryan Danielson and Swerve Strickland at AEW All In. I interviewed Bryan Danielson. Brief interview. It is up here on all of our channels right now. But as of now, Will Ospreay, Mariah May, and Darby Allin, or actually Jack Perry is favored to win that. And we saw that cool new TNT championship that he made. Denise, for full disclosure, sent me whatever this is.
Read it. Just read it, Sean. Read it.
Well, it's some tortilla chips and refried beans. And says, chill all, kill less, come free, haul it toes.
I was waiting for this. So basically it's like a joke, like this is how white people would say it, you know, but like with like English words.
what is it
it's chilaquiles con frijolitos.
Yep that's pretty much how I would say
right, that's what I would say. That's why it's funny. You know, I was waiting for this for like 3 days to send it to you. There's a whole chart, by the way. I saw it somewhere on Facebook where there's a bunch of things to say in Spanish, but with English words. So, yeah.
Well, we do have WWE Monday Night Raw to talk about. Fightful Select did break news on Saraya's contract today. Her deal, as of now, is up in September. We've got a lot more notes on Fightful Select, but they are discussing the possibility of another year in AEW. She's had her highlights, which I think that the partnership with Harley Cameron has been very good. She won the title at Wembley, so there are things that she can, you know, she can point to. Her debut was a lot of fun, but there are definitely people that feel like she'd be better suited for WWE. It's just a matter, will WWE clear her? I know one thing, Triple H would have liked to have retained her in the company. What were your thoughts when you saw that, Denise?
Right. So I feel, you know, it's unfortunate that things didn't really necessarily go as many of us probably might have hoped it would have gone for Saraya over on AEW, because when she did come in, it was this really cool moment, especially because, you know, she overcame what she overcame. And so many of us didn't expect her to be back in pro wrestling. And whenever you see people like her or Edge be able to come back after, you know, a neck issue like that, it's, you know, it's something that you got to admire, right? However, I just don't ever think she really connected with the AEW audience, and I don't necessarily think she ever found her footing in AEW, because the only thing that I can really pinpoint is that moment with her having that match with Britt Baker, and then her winning the title at All In, which we all know really only happened because of London and it being in London. And even after that, I cannot name you anything that happened with Saraya as champion following that show. Like, I cannot tell you one match that I recall from that. So I personally feel like, unfortunately, she never necessarily clicked with AEW. So I don't know, like, what, you know, what could have been done differently or what, but it just unfortunately didn't go how I thought it would.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. You might say, wait, what the heck are those? Well, if you're here on youtube.com/Fightful, where we have interviews, review shows every day, news shows, you can send a super chat here on youtube.com/Fightful, or you can go to humperchats.com. That's humper chats, like a camel's hump. And you can send them on whatever platform, even if you're on YouTube. Our wonderful moderator, Luis, will take those down. And we will address them, like CC Bonbon saying, Paul White contract status, did he renew? Well, he signed in February of 2021, and he's still there. I know he was specifically doing the ROH stuff because he lived in Texas and they had the residency there, but he would have had to have at some point. Jonathan Corona says, hey, Sean, What is your favorite Mexican dish besides tacos? Probably fajitas. Probably.
I honestly didn't think you'd have an answer. Really? I was like, what is Sean gonna say?
Okay. Well, you know what? This will track. Do you know the first place I ever got a fajita from?
No, where?
McDonald's.
And McDonald's?
What they kind had of fajita? They had fajitas at McDonald's in the 90s.
Steak fajitas. I did not know that. That's super random.
They were pretty good. I mean, I was a child. I was a little baby, but yeah. I know one thing. If I ever want like a full power Pepsi, I don't go to a normal store. I go to a Mexican grocery store and get a Mexican Pepsi because there's no comparison. It's nowhere near the same.
I'm very happy your ex-Mexican girlfriend educated you on this.
Well, I mean, like, gosh, 2 decades ago, my grandmother drank regular Pepsi and it was good. But then I drank Mexican Pepsi and I was like, oh my God, this is completely.
You were just hit with all the sugar.
Volob says, why does Sean look like he's going to call his girl and ask her what it's like in New York City? I don't understand.
Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York
good
City?
God.
I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do.
It's the band name. I don't think they actually wore white tees in the video.
I don't know, but it's just funny.
K775 says, any worries from WWE on Becky being at Wembley, or are they still pretty confident she'll be back when she's ready? So another thing that FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, did confirm. Everybody that was flipping out and thinking that Becky had retired with that post, she had not retired. I confirmed that directly. It absolutely was not that. When Becky left, both sides that I spoke to said that they were very confident that they would end up working together again in the future. But Becky, I think she did an interview recently and she mentioned she was enjoying her time off. But that's something I've tried to reiterate. She is really enjoying her time off. And much deserved, but they're pretty confident that she'll stick around. But I don't think that Becky will be at Wembley. I don't know if they've made contact with her. I've asked a couple times and not quite gotten an answer. So we'll see. But WWE Raw, we had Sheamus defeat Pete Dunne. We're going to go and tie in the opening segment with the main event. But I really enjoyed this match. I like the way that they've set it up, Denise, by Pete Dunne saying, I'm not Butch. I was never Butch. He saddled me with that because he thought that was a fun nickname. And what he was doing was using us to keep his career alive. I think that Pete Dunne has a creative reason here as to why he doesn't like Sheamus and Ridge Holland's split as well. But what I really loved, Denise, was the finish of this match, where Pete Dunne put Sheamus's injured arm through a turnbuckle pad, which, you know, if Sheamus had just stayed stuck in there, I would have said this was a dumbass finish and I hated it. But Sheamus ripped it off, brogue kicked him, pinned him. And this is after he got kicked right in the arm. I loved the setup and I really loved the finish. I thought this was really good stuff.
Yeah, I feel like the finish is really the main thing to talk about, because other than that, like, the match itself was fine, but it was really the finish that I think was the most memorable thing, primarily because I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. I don't recall seeing the turnbuckle be utilized in that way before, so I thought, oh, okay, that was totally different, and it kind of made things look a lot more painful. I don't know how, but it did, and I'm just sort of imagining his arm sort of being hurt more in that way with him taking that hit right to the freaking turnbuckle. So I just imagine like the wires or whatever that are there, just like kind of stabbing right into him. So I thought that visual was very unique. Of course, him snapping out of it, like you said, but then hitting that bro kick, it was almost like it felt like in that moment he was done with, but out of nowhere, he just came out of that with that bro kick. And I thought that was what sort of made it really cool. But the match itself was fine. It was just, again, like you mentioned, the finish, that was the only thing to really write home about.
Yeah, I loved that finish. It's just one that I hadn't seen, and I really enjoyed the way that all worked out. We had a Braun Breaker vignette, and listen, he is coming into his own with these specifically. People are barking for him. They're really liking him. And I like it's a little bit of a play off of the old Snitsky, "It's not my fault," because he's like, "That will be my fault." I think that's going to become his signature phrase. I think it'll get really over. Listen, that's a thing that I think like AEW could stand to have. In WWE, they got people barking, yeeting, a bunch of catchphrases and stuff like that. I feel like that's something AEW could benefit from a little bit more.
I mean, they could just have a bunch of people walking around saying "bitch" and "you're Okada."
That's fair. That's fair. And his is working. His is very enjoyable. But later on, Jey Uso cuts a promo and says, "By the way, there's an Intercontinental title tournament. I'm going to be in it." Jey and Braun Breaker, you know, seems to be on a collision course based on this first night that we see. But what did you think of the Braun Breaker and Jey Uso integration here?
Right. So with Braun Breaker, it's a situation of, first of all, I'm so glad that he's not over this feud with Adam Pearce. They've been feuding ever since he went to the main roster. I'm sorry, to the Raw roster. It feels like they've had issues since that very beginning there. In regards to the Jey Uso part of it, though, Jey Uso has been talking about being singles champion for how long now? And it still hasn't happened. I most definitely do not expect Jey Uso to take the belt off of Braun Breaker. I mean, I guess it can happen, but it just doesn't feel like the right thing to do, especially because it just feels like right now there's more. I would rather invest, I guess, in Braun Breaker and seeing his growth. I would like to see his growth be something similar to that of Gunther. The way that Gunther made that Intercontinental Championship look, I kind of want to see Braun Breaker along similar lines. Of course, maybe not as long of a reign or whatever, but I do want to see him similarly to Gunther just have a great reign like that. And so I just keep thinking about how many times you're going to have Jey Uso go out there and be like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to be singles champion," and then it doesn't happen. So at some point, it's got to happen. I just don't know when or where or what bout or when the right time is, but at some point it does feel like that has to happen on the horizon for him. And then I think that's kind of about it.
Let's look at Jey Uso's recent accolades or lack thereof. He lost in the Money in the Bank ladder match. He lost in the semifinals of King of the Ring to Gunther. He lost the world title match at Backlash France against Damian Priest. Lost an IC title match in February to Gunther. Obviously didn't win the Rumble. Lost to Seth Rollins in December on Raw for the title. As I look, he and Cody Rhodes were briefly tag team champions, but Roman Reigns beat Jey Uso for the Universal title. So this is like, last June, he lost to Austin Theory in a U.S. title match. He has really come up empty with these singles title matches, but I remember once upon a time, Denise, over in AEW, I was talking about how Orange Cassidy had lost 8 consecutive title opportunities. And I was like, well, why do they keep doing it? And then he went on a legendary run in that company and helped elevate that championship. Jey Uso is in such a unique spot because if you put him in a tag team, well, he's right back where he was a couple years ago, right? But naturally, that's going to happen again for the Bloodline angle. But you also got so many pieces for the future that are right there. Gunther should be world champion. Braun Breaker should be Intercontinental champion. So it's really hard to reckon with that. And
yeah,
it's a good Denise, it's a good problem to have. Think about where we were 5 years ago when you and I were reviewing the show and nothing mattered.
Right. And I feel bad because none of those guys would I say, "Oh yeah, drop the World Heavyweight Championship to Jey. Oh yeah, drop the Intercontinental Championship to Jey." As much as I like Jey, until he gets to that point where I feel that he should be that champion, that guy. And you know it, the fans all know it. We all sort of tend to click in a certain way where everybody sort of realizes like, oh, this person should be champion. And Jey Uso's over. He's over as hell with the yeet stuff. But there's still that thing that I guess, because there's other interests with these other champions, it's still not, doesn't feel like the moment is right for him just yet, which is kind of weird to say, right? Because you're like, oh yeah, this guy's over and maybe it'll happen for him.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But sometimes you just need a little bit more than that.
Jonathan Corona says, Denise, question, how was the weather in Mexico? Because I'm going next week on Friday for 4 days.
Okay, take sunscreen and a hat because it's going to be incredibly hot in some points. And then take a rain jacket and an umbrella because then it'll start raining like crazy. So literally prepare for both types of weather. And if it says it's going to rain in like 2 hours, trust me, it'll rain in 2 hours. Like it just won't not show up. It will show up and it'll be hard.
Jonathan Cronus says, Sean, where do you see the AEW TV deals going? You think they stay on WBD or do you see them going to the USA Network? I mean, they won't go to USA. No, WWE will have an exclusivity there. There's no chance of that. I think it will be an all-encompassing deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. I think they are well on the road to making that happen. And I think that it's, you know, a very good thing. Very good thing for them. I'll have a lot more details on Fightful Select on Tuesday. Brokely Hathaway says, am I crazy to think that WWE doing a house show near World's End isn't that big of a deal? Feels like WWE now has time to make sure they load up that show and have interesting stories going into it. AEW should have expected this at some point. No. Like, listen, there are going to be people that feel about it. For those that missed it, WWE is running a holiday live event the same night in the same city as AEW World's End. Is it petty? Yeah, but it's the element of competition. And what you can't say if you are talking about this situation is that WWE does not view AEW's competition. You can say that WWE will outdraw them, et cetera, but WWE clearly views them as heavy competition, and they should. I don't have a problem with it. I grew up in the era of people driving Jeeps up to Nitro and people challenge, like Eric Bischoff challenging Vince McMahon to fights, like
reading each other's spoilers.
Reading each other's spoilers. It's business. It's business. I don't have a problem with it. I'm sure AEW isn't thrilled about it. But you know what they should do? Write a bunch of compelling stories and make a bunch of matches for AEW World's End that will make people decide to go to their show instead of the WWE show. Easier said than done in a lot of senses, but yeah.
There's such different audiences too, Sean. I feel like the people that want to go to AEW World's End are going to go to AEW World's End. The people that want to go to the holiday tour are going to go to the holiday tour. I feel like, of course, there's that crossover where there's going to be people that are fans of both. But even then, those people are going to know which show they want to go to the most. And that's the show they're going to go to. And that's it. I feel like right now there's a really good space for just wanting to support multiple companies or both or multiple companies having, their own fan base and whatnot. And so, again, I feel like it's very different audiences.
Jonathan Corona says going to Guadalajara for two parties. Jonathan Corona partying? I would have never guessed it. I would have never guessed it. Pat McAfee is also out. KE775 says, you heard who's joining Joe Tessitore on commentary while Michael Cole's on SmackDown. Well, I mean, they've done, I just want to say this. Corey Graves and Barrett have done really great on SmackDown for neither one having been a play-by-play guy before. I would imagine one of them ends up moving over to Raw. Probably Corey Graves because he's a little bit more experienced in that regard. But I think that adding Joe Tessitore on the surface is a very, very good idea. Denise, I can't imagine
you are painfully familiar with Joe Tessitore's work, but sports fans, listen, fight night boxing game fans are aware of it. That's where I grew to love Joe Tessitore's work, but I think that's going to be really great. He's got a fantastic voice, one of the best to ever do it. Maxine Dupree and Ivy Nile ends in a no contest when the Wyatts show up, specifically Nikki Cross, who they outright said thinks she is Abby the Witch. I loved the pop from the crowd. There wasn't much of a match to talk about. But the pop from the crowd and then Ivy Nile's immediate reaction to that, like what I like was she wasn't horrified. She was more like, where do I need to be right now to better protect myself? I thought that she played this very well, and it ended with Chad Gable eating another Sister Abigail like an absolute psychopath. The cell is insane, and we got a match next week. What'd you think of this segment?
Two thoughts. One, I was actually bummed out that we didn't get the Maxine Ivy Nile match, and I know some people are going, really? What? What do you mean by that? I wanted to see where Maxine's at. I want to see where she's at in terms of her level of wrestling right now. I'm assuming she's training when she's not on TV and all of that. That just feels like a given. I wanted to see what she can do. And she did a little suplex outside the ring. And I thought, okay, like, let's see. She had some confidence in there. And I was ready to see what else would happen in this matchup here. Again, I just wanted to gauge where she was at. And then when the Wyatt Six came out, I was actually kind of a little disappointed because I wanted to see this match play out. But anyways, when everything went down the way that it did, I thought that Nikki Cross did phenomenal, and she just went and she just like leaped her body, like she just launched herself on top of Ivy Nile. I thought that was great. But as for the Chad Gable portion and all of that, I feel like at some point Chad Gable has to, I think I'm just gonna be honest, I'm tired of the whole Wyatt Six is coming out, I'm just gonna stand here and do this and be fucking sponge guard. I'm done with that. Like, I'm so over that. Like, he's literally sponge guard.
They definitely tried to protect themselves much better in that. They got in there and they immediately had Ivy Nile's back, which
right.
They
but
should.
I feel like at this point, like, be smarter, bring something. I don't know. Find a way to not look
a gun,
like you're
maybe.
Always- just like they're always just looking like they're terrified, and I get it, that's the whole point, you're supposed to be scared of the Wyatt Six, but I'm kind of over the whole oh my god, what do I do, yeah. Wyatt Six is here, okay, the lights turn out, you're gonna fight them like you would any normal other competitor, any other normal man, whatever. So I'm just kind of over that portion.
I do hope that Maxine has been getting her reps in at the PC, because she has not had a match in 3 months before this, so I do hope that she's been getting her reps in. And obviously the Performance Center, her and Ivy can go in and work whatever match they have. Whatever match they end up having is going to be 5 or 6 minutes anyway. But yeah, I'm with you. I do want to see where Maxine is, assuming that her role is going to be anything resembling in-ring. Because you know what? Maybe it's not going to be. Because I don't think everybody should have to wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, Stokely Hathaway is working it all in. That man's wrestled dozens of matches and took back bumps at the PC, went through training, did a really good program with Orange Cassidy on the indies, and Chuck Taylor as well. So I mean, like, there are some that are better prepared for it. She definitely wasn't, as she wrapped up there, but
right.
I hope
and
that
I mean,
things have gotten better.
They have so many women too that can easily be in that spot, Sean. So it's kind of a situation of like, okay, if you really need someone to wrestle, you can find somebody, you can pull somebody up from NXT and have them on there. I mean, Kiana James, she's on the Raw roster, right?
She is on the Raw roster, and people, it's so funny because nobody cares about so many talent, not to single her out, until they're off TV. Nobody was asking me about The Blade or Penelope Ford until they weren't on TV. All due respect to those two, who I think are both incredibly talented, but that's when I started getting questions. That's when people were interested in them all of a sudden. I get that with an awful lot of talent. I got that with Odyssey Jones. Since Odyssey Jones has come back, we have not got one super chat about him, but we got a bunch when he was gone.
So what you're saying is keep everyone off of TV so we can get super chats. Let's go. How sad. That sounds terrible. It's a terrible thing to say. But no, for real. But I think that happens, though.
Man, Matt Logan.
Oh. Sean, are we messed up? Is it me or is it you?
I don't know, but it's okay. Matt Logan says, WWE also started selling tickets for Cardiff, Wales for a house show in October. Well, yeah, that's just good business. They should be selling their Cardiff, Wales house show tickets for October. They should. Terry Allen Jr. says, save the question for Bash the Berlin conference. Do you attempt vacations, Triple H, to refresh? I will not be there. And we can't really solicit questions for those. If you get called on, you get called on. But Denise, you are going to Bash in Berlin, aren't you?
I am. I will be there. I'm excited.
A lot of fun. You'll enjoy that. You'll enjoy that.
I hope I do. I'm looking forward to it.
But Terry, yeah, Triple H does have weeks off here and there. Cadillac Carson says, also AEW should send the Bang Bang Gang to WWE event in a tank. I mean, you don't want to derive too much from the Money at War era because you will get those WCW references. But I do think they, you know, in when I was a kid, there wasn't a thing that I was thinking. I wasn't ever like, man, can't WCW just stop talking about WWF or vice versa? I was just like, oh, that's funny, or that's cool, or that's lame. But, you know, the nature of social media, it's always, why can't they ever do anything without this, without that? Like, listen, guys, if you all had any idea what all went on behind the scenes in front of the camera, you'd realize it is very two-sided here. Like, it isn't one side going after the other by WWE tampering or AEW mentioning them. They are in a battle for eyeballs. That's what they're doing. CM Punk speaks, cuts a promo, pretty well, just, you know, puts over the fans more than anything. Talked about some of his experiences meeting some fans at Fanatics Fest, which was a monster success for WWE. I do hope they fine tune that. Listen, you can think about what you want about the Fanatics deal, and listen, I agree, the quality ain't that great, but objectively doing insane business for WWE. That is also a thing I think AEW needs to work on, is their merchandising. But he talked a little bit about that and then challenged Drew McIntyre to a strap match. Drew McIntyre gladly agreed. Punk wanted to get him in the ring, offered to trade the strap for the friendship bracelet, but didn't end up happening. But we do get the match. What'd you think of this segment? To me, it existed. It happened. We knew the strap match was going to happen, but they did made it official here, Denise.
So here's the thing. I didn't think Raw was that great today. I thought it was kind of a show, and I wasn't feeling very well today. And I almost felt like just taking the day off. Right. By all accounts, I probably could have, based on just everything that unfolded. I could have read the results and it would have been fine. No big deal. But I would have sure as hell been pissed had I missed the CM Punk Taylor Swift reference. So thank you, boy, CM Punk, for that Taylor Swift reference, because that made me showing up to work today worth it. I popped so hard, Sean. You don't even know. I popped so hard because, yes, I know everybody's seen friendship bracelets everywhere and you guys just think, oh, it just happened out of nowhere. No, Taylor Swift made friendship bracelets come back again. She brought them back to relevance. Before, friendship bracelets were just for little girls playing at when they bought their little kit at Target. But Taylor Swift made friendship bracelets cool again. And that's why you've been seeing this surge of friendship bracelets, okay? And so on top of that, CM Punk notes that. And then he said, what do you say? Men for Taylor Swift, or Taylor Swift? Men for Taylor Swift is what he said. And I literally love that so much, because Taylor Swift gets so much hate, and she gets so much hate, especially from a lot of guys, because whatever reasons. And when
in about a month, you are going to see so much Taylor Swift hate.
Yeah.
Men, women, just because they show her for a cumulative 45 seconds on a broadcast.
Right. Exactly. Without realizing all the benefits that she brings. But hey, whatever. So the point is that they're always hating on her. And so when you see somebody like CM Punk go out there and be like, I'm a Taylor Swift fan, men for Taylor Swift, I was like, it was like a nice little endorsement, you know? I love that. So I was very, very happy, and that was a cool moment, and that made showing up to work all of it. That was the highlight of Raw today. So that's it. Post show over. Peace.
Cray says, speaking of not being on TV, where's Tegan Nox? NXT would be a good fit for her, or maybe join Damage Control. So Corey Brennan had reported on FightfulSelect.com a while back that there was some interest in using her in NXT. We're just not sure to what extent that will actually happen. She's healthy. She's at TVs, and she worked a match before taping recently. So she's there. I just don't know. Just don't know why they aren't using her. They should use her. Even if it's losing, they should use her. New Day and Odyssey Jones defeated Final Testament. My favorite part of this is afterwards, Paul Ellering going, no, 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 no. That ruled. Because he's like, listen, I really respect that AOP were like, you want us, you got to bring him back. Like that is pretty cool of them. AOP are not booked the way that I anticipated them to be booked when I reported on FightfulSelect.com that they'd be coming back. But I understand they want to establish Odyssey Jones, and you do have him come in and get a big win. Before this, Xavier communicated to Kofi that he felt like he was trying to replace Big E, wished that he would have talked to him about it. During the match, you see Kofi tagging Odyssey instead of Xavier. And Xavier's like, what? But by the end, they get the win. And Xavier's like, okay, maybe not so bad. How did you feel about what we saw in the developments with Odyssey, Xavier, and Kofi?
Honestly, bless your soul, Sean, because when you said you had a favorite part, I was like, you had a favorite part? What part was it? Nothing happened in this segment, Sean. Literally, there was, it felt like this segment served no purpose whatsoever. This match felt like it didn't serve anything. I thought, okay, maybe the Final Testament will have a great match. Okay, maybe we'll finally see the Xavier Woods turn. Okay, anything. Nothing happened. I felt like this was just a waste of time. And so I, that's quite frankly, fair. Like, just, you know, if you didn't watch Raw today, just you can fast forward this part.
You could have watched what you needed to see in this in 15 seconds. The tag.
No, you could have literally just heard someone say what happened. That's it. You didn't even.
Well, that's not. I don't agree with that. You had the Kofi and Xavier conversation, and Xavier.
That was good. The conversation was good.
There was the tag, and then Xavier being like, okay. But I mean, I think in 30 seconds, you could have caught up on this. Kofi said, not trying to replace Big E. Don't worry. There's the tag. And then the reaction at the end. Meet Norma says, Odyssey Jones appreciation chat, because he's actually one big SOB. When he's finally inducted into the New Day, will Xavier knight him with the trombone? I don't think that happens. I don't think they add him to New Day. I don't think they can. I think maybe they come up with something different. But it's like, Denise, my favorite band on the planet is Sublime. But the lead singer, the driving force of that band, died in 1996. They came back, like I want to say 12 years ago, with another very talented singer named Rome Ramirez, and they called themselves Sublime. Then they changed it to Sublime with Rome. And it's like, you can't be the New Day with somebody else. You can't do that. You can't just add a new ingredient now. And it just doesn't work like that to me. So I don't even think they'll stay together, personally.
I love that Odyssey Jones is so like oblivious to all of it. He's just happy to be there. Yes. He's going out.
Man's like, he's like, I've been drafted twice. I'm ready to be on TV.
Honestly, I'm really rooting for Odyssey Jones in the New Day. I don't have it. Would obviously it would be weird if he had New Day merch. Like, I mean, sorry, New Day gear. It would be really weird. But I do think there is a way to integrate him and to make him into the New Day. Not necessarily replacing Big E, but being his own special person as this, you know, new version of the New Day. I think it could happen. But I do fear, because sometimes fans can be a little, you know, there's always that group of like toxic fans, right? I fear that there's going to be those people that like go and attack him on social media, like, oh, you just fucking replaced Big E. Like, there's weird people like that, and I fear that for him. But I do think that he can easily be, not easily, but I think if they wanted to, they could integrate him into a new version of the New Day without it feeling like he's replacing Big E. But then again, it all depends on how that is workshopped.
We've got a couple of super chats. Valab says, I don't feel like a four corner strap match really feels like something for this kind of feud. It's too rulesy, for the lack of a better word. Chat, help me out. Did they announce it'd be the four corner strap match? Because if so,
They didn't say that, did they? Because I don't like the four corner strap match. I thought it was just a strap match without the four corners rules.
Like, listen,
when's the last time there was a WWE strap match? And did they do the four corners?
I know that Savio Vega and Stone Cold did the four corner, but that was years ago. Yes, they did. Oh,
wait, they announced the four corners? Oh no! Oh,
nothing says. Okay, Punk said it and slapped a turnbuckle. Oh,
maybe
nothing says blood feud, Denise. Like nothing says that like him being the custom percussionist from Slipknot and just slapping everything. Oh, I had tuned that out. You're absolutely right, guys. He did say that he was going to drag Drew to every corner. You're right. Oh, my God. I know one thing, Denise. The next time I see that motherfucker Billy Batty, I'm going to walk over to the nearest turnbuckle and slap it. That's what's going to happen.
This is not where I was expecting that you were going to go.
I will look that piece of shit dead in his eyes. I will walk directly to that turnbuckle and slap it. That is...
Dude, yeah, that's exactly what you do when you're pissed. Why do they keep doing this, though, Sean? They did this with – they keep – this feud, this story has been so great, but the matches have been like, oh, we got to add Seth Rollins here. Oh, we got to do the four corner strap matches. Why can't we ever just get, like, either a straightforward match or a straightforward strap match? Why do we always got to add these fancy stuff?
What I would like is for them to establish next week how important it is – to Drew to not lose a match.
I thought you said to touch all four corners. I thought what you were going to say.
Well, whatever it is, like they need Drew McIntyre to establish that if there's one thing on this planet, that he can't stand, it's the idea of losing in any capacity at anything to CM Punk. Foot race, four corner, doesn't matter. Rafael Garcia says, Hollywood Denise, the only one excited over a feud that now has devolved into a feud about a bracelet.
Yo, what's up? I'm here.
Oh, my God.
No, but seriously, if I was CM Punk, I would just go show up with some freaking scissors, cut him off of Drew McIntyre, and then just fix it and put it back on myself. Problem solved.
T-Sipper says, on the topic of the New Day segment, I don't know if I had a favorite part during that. But I did have a favorite part after the match where Woods did not look pleased.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to me, that is progression that Woods is still assured, but the behavior during the match makes him go, well, is that really the case? Is that really the case? Jonathan Corona says TK contract comments. And by the way, Jonathan Corona sent a monster super chat. So we're going to spend some time on this. What are the odds that Edge's contract ended on September 30th with WWE and the very next day negotiations were finalized, video package was put together for the debut that night, and wasn't done while Adam was still at WWE? So, the legalities of contract tampering in pro wrestling are much discussed, but there is no oversight committee. There is no, this isn't like the NBA or the NFL where they really are working to prevent this. There's realistically not a whole lot that I believe can happen. But, I mean, there has always kind of been that, I don't know if it's unspoken, but if a person is very clearly at the end of their contract, like when Jeff Hardy was at the end of his contract, very clearly there were conversations had. Jade Cargill, you think she just left AEW, said her goodbyes without knowing that she was going to WWE? She did. From what I understood, AEW's specific issues were with the Lucha Brothers maybe not doing business. To which I have said, if I were Tony Khan, what I would say is, Penta, even though your deal hypothetically might be up, come back here, put over a couple teams, and what we won't do is extend your brother due to injury time. I think that makes a lot of sense for all parties involved. As far as Tony's specific feelings about contract tampering, that's something at least WWE has long claimed that they don't want to participate in.
Sean, I lost you. I don't know if it's me or if it's you. Is it me or is it Sean? I don't know.
It's my connection. It for sure is my connection.
Oh, okay. I was like, shit, is it me?
I'm gonna have to work on that.
I wasn't too sure.
But, okay. As far as like, Idea party didn't have. Are you there?
No, yeah, you're there. You're back. You're back.
The idea that a guy like Jeff Hardy did not have his have any idea he was going to AEW until the day he showed up, it's hard for me to believe. But while we refresh, let's hear from our sponsor at Nord.
Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Apologies for the wonky connection. Over in this studio, it's a little bit goofier than this one over there, but I will get that rectified. We got Bronson Reed defeating Miz. I actually liked Miz's promo before this, where he was straight up like, no, I don't want to do this. Like, nobody in their right mind would want to face this guy. And he's like, but R-Truth is my friend, and I don't have many friends, and that is very important to me that I do right by him because he's out for a very long time. He's like, I got to at least try. I got to show at least some semblance of loyalty to the one person outside of my wife that has shown me some loyalty in wrestling. I thought that was good. I don't think The Miz should have gotten anywhere near as much offense as he did, again, even in a no DQ match. Now, I understand that the crutch, Denise, is it's a no DQ match, so that's how. But I can give that a little bit more. But I would have rather he got crushed last week if they were going to give him as much offense this week.
I feel like this is exactly what we were talking about last week, as you just mentioned. And I thought, like, oh, they're running back this match. Of course, the story is, you know, he's getting his revenge for his friend. Sure, great. But I thought, oh, they're running this match back to give the fans what they want, which is Bronson Reed hitting multiple tsunamis on The Miz and really, you know, eating him alive, right? And that didn't happen again. And so he hits the one tsunami, he gets the win, he goes for the other one. And in that moment, I'm going, all right, here we go. Like, this is it. We're going to see The Miz take a bunch of tsunamis. But then Braun comes out and I thought, oh, well, I'm happy that Braun and Bronson Reed are going to be, you know, doing their meat thing. Great. But I personally felt like we got screwed again from not seeing The Miz take a bunch of tsunamis. So you know what's going to happen? We're going to have to run this back again next week and get it right again. Because I kind of feel like we keep getting screwed out of seeing The Miz get squashed by Bronson Reed. But also, I am looking forward to him and Braun Strowman.
I would like to see Bronson Reed on WWE Speed, and he just goes to a draw because he keeps doing tsunamis and doesn't beat the guy within the time limit.
How many tsunamis do you think he can do in 5 minutes?
Oh, God. A lot. That guy's motor is insane. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it. We had Dominic and Damian vignettes, including Dominic challenging Damian to a match without anybody there. Of course, that doesn't happen. Rhea even warns him, and Damian's like, yeah, I know. You can have my back. Well, the match clearly doesn't happen. And honestly, that match should probably be a pay-per-view match at this point, even though they are doing the 2-on-2. But Judgment Day do ambush the Terror Twins. One thing that I think is very smart that they're doing in these, because they are getting a little repetitive, but we're seeing them establish that the Rhea Ripley headbutt into the South of Heaven chokeslam is going to be their go-to. Like, that is the big move to finish the match at Bash at Berlin. Rhea Ripley does the headbutt. Dominic turns around, eats a big South of Heaven. Damian Priest gets the pin. I also like that match being set up because, one, it's got a ton of heat behind it with all the competitors, and two, it continues that feud without Rhea Ripley having to win the title back, because I don't think you have her win it back immediately. You had Liv beat her, and it shows, okay, well, Liv probably could have beat her at some point down the road. But this was more, this felt like, okay, well, the Terror Twins have gotten up on Judgment Day a little bit. Got to send it back the other way, and we'll see how the match goes next week. How'd you feel about this?
I did like the Liv Morgan attack. I thought the Liv Morgan attack on Rhea Ripley was the highlight of this. I thought she did a really good job of, you know, running her into the post and her shoulder going straight into that. I like the selling of it. I thought that they did a really good job, because for the most part, it's been Rhea Ripley getting Liv Morgan all the time, back to back every single week. It feels like she's managed to get her hands on her. And this time was the first time that Liv Morgan was in, you know, a chicken shit heel. And of course she had tons of backup, right? All her guy friends were out there having her back and all of that. But the fact that she finally got to handle business with Rhea, I thought was kind of enjoyable to see, because you don't see Rhea Ripley often get woman handled like that, or at least attacked in that kind of a manner. So I thought that was cool. And I think all of us sort of saw it coming. This whole thing was pretty predictable. Like the moment that you saw that Priest and Rhea had basically outnumbered Dominic and they were setting him up for the table, everybody saw the writing on the wall. Hey, Liv Morgan's going to come out. Everybody saw the writing on the wall when she said she wasn't even going to be out there. So a predictable segment, but I thought Liv Morgan's portion in all of it was possibly the best.
Crazy 101's into Super Chat and says, who are three debuts or returns you could see it all in? Well, I'll have some news on one that I'm working on Wednesday, and it's a really interesting one. But I think Jamie Hayter makes an awful lot of sense. I would love to see Nigel McGuinness get involved somehow, but I don't know. That's not really a return or debut unless he wrestles in some capacity. Unless he's like popping up as a mysterious like gauntlet member or a trios team member in a ladder match. But Ricochet is one that I think comes back or shows up as well. That you're looking at, Denise?
I don't got any other answers but the ones you've got.
We got the Unholy Union defeating the Pure Fusion Collective and the Sky Pirates for the tag titles. Unholy Union finally getting some wins. I'm just glad to see the tag titles defended. Glad to see that going on, because it needed to happen. Far too much across wrestling, we are seeing in WWE contenders not earning it, and in AEW champions not defending it. And I'm just happy to see this. K775 says Raw's women's division is in rough shape. Yeah, because they got to develop contenders underneath, and they're sort of doing that with women and the stables. So I think they've done a little bit of a better job with this, Denise, setting it up. What did you think of the match?
So first of all, I got to say, I went into this kind of expecting the titles to change hands. Well, okay, so originally I thought that they would drop the titles to Bianca and Jade, because that kind of felt like that's what they were going for on the SmackDown side of things. Because you got to understand, like, they've been doing stuff on SmackDown, they've been doing stuff on Raw, right? Okay, so I thought that was my original idea. But then when they announced this triple threat, I started to think, okay, the title's changing hands here tonight. And so I was expecting to see new tag team champions. And when it didn't happen, I thought, okay, fine, that's great. Then I'm kind of going back to my original prediction, which was dropping the titles to Bianca and Jade and putting the titles back on them. But what I do want to say, though, in particular, is that I thought Io Sky and Kairi Sane, they were the MVPs of this match. They had their working shoes on. They were exciting. They were a bolt of energy, both of them. I thought they had the best moments in the match, and I thought they looked really good. And I kind of felt like they were basically saying, yeah, hey, guys, we're here. We're still a thing. Pay attention to us. Look at what we can do, and look at how much more we can shine than some of the other competitors. And I thought they really killed it in this match.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought I liked Unholy Union here. They haven't really gotten much of an opportunity, even as champions, to do a whole lot. And I think that was long overdue here, especially if you're going to put the titles on them. Of course, it was a feel-good moment, considering everything that happened surrounding Alba Fire and her family. But, it's one of those things that needs a lot more energy put in it. You know what I was gonna put some energy into, Denise?
What?
The investigation into the JD McDonough meme.
Oh, yeah. So do we have an update?
Well, yeah, I was going to do a whole bit, Denise. I was going to interrupt every show. I was going to interrupt Grapsody, the spotlight in the weeds. No, Denise, what happened was minutes after I got off the air with you, I just hopped over into Sour Graps. And before I could finish the sentence, Kate goes, oh, yeah, it was me. I did it. She completely ruined my bit.
But did she say why she did it?
To free up space. But I don't look to free up space because on StreamYard, you have to have.
Why don't you just buy more space, Sean?
No. It's not that. I had space, but over on Sour Graps, they got like all this junk on here.
Oh, my God. So
they thought that we needed it. No.
Oh, my God.
The only thing that we needed was this. And it only exists on the Sour Graps one now. Insane.
But why don't Jonathan you just Corona. Reorganize?
What do you mean?
Like go on your little brands and reorganize where you're putting things.
What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. She just hopped onto mine. That's unsolicited.
Right. So that's what I'm confused about.
Nothing to be confused about. She hopped onto my profile and deleted my stuff.
Yeah, I get it.
And I had plenty of space there.
Okay, I see what happened. I understand.
I had somebody asking. So what's going
to
happen
to poor Kate? Is she getting fined? What's the situation? You know what?
I think that's an interesting question here. I think instead of spending my days hunting down that it was Kate, we should probably hold like I should probably do a jury summons for people at Fightful and
a live trial.
Take Kate to Fightful Court. That's going to happen.
You should totally do Fightful Court.
Fightful Court's going to happen.
You should do it. Fightful Court's going to happen. You should get some like subscribers to be the jury. We need some lawyers.
I like that. I like that idea.
You get two people from Fightful to be lawyers.
Well, I will definitely be prosecuting her for sure.
So there you go. That's you got happening. It. Can I be the judge?
No, you would not be fair. You would.
Yes,
you
I would be fair.
No, you are not impartial. I would
so be fair. I'm totally impartial.
You are not impartial.
I'm the most impartial person I know.
As if. The inner Edge fan in me wanted him to come out to help Maria and Priest. I wish we lived in that wrestling world, my friend. I wish we did. But Randy Orton promo, he came out and he was interrupted by Gunther, then eventually beaten down by Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. The promos didn't really do much for me. There's a lot of USA chants and all that stuff, and Gunther is very good at playing off of those. The promos, I'm like, what? Okay, sure.
One trick pony. That was the best line.
Yeah. The match, and Kaiser, by the way, confronted Sheamus backstage, but Orton beat Ludwig Kaiser by sing bombing him like 74 times on a table, which was really, really great. This is okay. This Raw did feel very placeholder-ish for me. This was not a strong episode of Raw. This was a let's get to next week out of when everybody's not watching a convention or something like that. And let's do WWE Raw before Bash at Berlin for the love of God. This felt like placeholder stuff. And for the top, this isn't the top program on Raw. It should be, but the real top program on Raw is Drew and CM Punk or Judgment Day and Terror Twins. The world title is playing third banana, and there's nothing wrong with that considering the cast that you have. But this was just fine. I love the sing bombs on the table, but other than that, this was okay.
Yeah, I was going to say there was no really other highlights besides that. I mean, Gunther going out there and looking like, oh, shit, I actually have some, you know, Randy Orton's a big deal, which, I mean, he should have already known that. But he was looking like all threatened and, oh, my God, I have to face Randy Orton, which I kind of liked because we don't often see fear or doubt in the mind of Gunther. So I thought that did a lot for their match heading into it. But this was primarily just to show that, hey, Randy's still got it. He's still that dominant guy. And look at him take on Ludwig Kaiser. But yeah, other than what you mentioned, you know, the commentary table spot, that was great. But that was about it. Like, I just thought that a lot of it lacked, the whole show in general lacked a lot of spark. There was not a lot of life in today's show. And I think that was sort of because like even I forgot to mention earlier, and I just got reminded right now when you mentioned Drew and Punk, when that whole segment ended, it felt weird. Like, it felt, there should have been more. There should have been a collision. There should have been some sort of physicality there. It felt like, okay, well, I don't like you. I don't like you. Cool. All right, I'm going to turn around and move on with my life. That's what that segment felt like. And even with the Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman segment, something that I also noticed during that was that they ended that really quickly. It was like, oh, he came out. He's there. Cool. They're both there. And then they show one shot of Bronson Reed, one shot of Braun Strowman, and all of a sudden, it's over. We are quickly into a backstage segment with Sheamus and Jackie Redmond, which was Sheamus's second interview of the day. Did we really need two Sheamus interviews? Probably not. Whatever. And so I kind of felt like they didn't let that moment breathe, so that kind of felt weird. So there was a lot of abrupt endings on the show for certain storyline segments, but it's just kind of nitpicking. It's fine. They didn't have like a hot show today. Whatever.
Ludwig Kaiser is going to emerge as a, like, Undertaker is screaming it from the rooftops. Like, Ludwig Kaiser is going to be a top guy one day. He's going to be a main event player. I mean, he's main eventing tonight, but guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, please. It is only $5 a month or $54 a year. All the news that you're seeing around the wrestling world, a significant portion comes from there. Please support original creators. You get access to a Discord as well. And right after this, I will be making sure that Kate gets served for her court date. Denise, tell the people what you got going on.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. Go over there. I post daily content each and every single day. Instagram, I've been really pushing my Instagram account a whole lot. I've been posting a lot more on there. So go to @_Denise Salcedo. Forgot my own username. Go there. Hit me up. I post a lot of content on there. So maybe you guys will like some of it.
Guys, we are trying to get our Facebook to 100,000 followers. It is facebook.com/FightfulOnline. Also, our Instagram is instagram.com/FightfulOnline. I've been posting on our TikTok here and there as well, but FightfulSelect.com. Right now, I'm going to go over there on Sour Graps and interrupt them. But DNC Digital wraps us up and says, my girlfriend is German, doesn't watch wrestling, but gets a kick out of Gunther Kaiser. Told her about Bash. She told me to get ready for a crazy crowd. Oh, all these international crowds, DNC Digital, are going to be great. Like, that. I find it hard to believe if they get Penta and Phoenix, I find it hard to believe that they won't go to Mexico within the next year, year and a half.
Are you
and
gonna that go, crowd's
going to be insane.
Would you go?
I might go to that. Yeah.
I'm going to have to hang out with you the whole time, Sean, because I need to see you in Mexico like 24/7. It'll just be like the funniest thing ever of my life.
Well, it won't be that funny because I know the first thing that I'm going to do is go get some chill, all kill less, come free, howl at toes. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.